Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. I'm Sarah Kornack, and this is episode 49. Today, we're talking about defining your target market. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
I'm sure most of us have heard the term target market before, so it doesn't sound like anything new, but if you're anything like me, although I've heard the term before, I understand the term, I have really yet to sit down and actually think through who my target market is. Beth Ann and I have a general vague idea of who our target market is, and maybe it's more than vague, but we've never actually sat down and took pen to paper and defined who our target market is for the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. So if you're like us, I'm guessing that for your business, you might have not done that either. And as I've been learning about defining the target market, I think that this is an important step that we need to take care of. I think it will help us guide our decision-making efforts as we move forward in our business, and I think it will help you as well. I used a couple resources when compiling this episode. I looked at smallbusinessnotes.com. They had some good articles on defining your target market, and I read something by fizzle.co. And these resources did help guide me as I researched the topic for this episode. So let's start out by defining target market so we're all on the same page. A target market is a specific group of consumers at which a company aims its products and services. They are your target because they are most likely to respond to your product, your service, the information that you're putting out there. And by respond, we specifically mean they are most likely to buy, consume, sign up, read, or otherwise just be engaged with whatever you are putting out there. And if you remember our episode on The Purple Cow by Seth Godin, you can listen to that one again if you don't recall. Your target market is probably most likely to be a sneezer for you. They're going to be the people that love what you are putting out there and are going to tell other people about it as well. And we all love sneezers because it gets the information out there to a wider audience. So if you focus your efforts, your marketing efforts, your product efforts on your target market, you're going to get the highest return on investment for your time and your money with that group compared to any other group. If you just reach out to every single person in the world, your efforts are going to fall on deaf ears. Not everybody is going to be interested. It's not going to relate to them. It's not going to make sense for them. It's not going to solve a problem that they have. So by reaching out and marketing and creating products for that target market, you are laser point shooting your efforts in that one direction where you are going to get the most bang for your buck, the most return on your investment. None of us have unlimited time or unlimited money. At least we don't over here. So you want to really target your efforts to make the most progress with what you have. So this target market sounds pretty great if they are going to be so interested in what I have to share with them. So how do I figure out who they are? In the marketing world, there are different segments that are used to define a target market. And this is something I adapted from the smallbusinessnotes.com. There's the traditional demographic segment, which is defining a person based on their age, their income, their occupation, kind of the usual methods that you think of. A geographic segment is also something that we're somewhat familiar with. It's defining a person, your target market, based on their location, where they live. Now, here's a segment I had never heard of before. I had never heard of this term. psychographic segment. This would be your lifestyle preferences. Lifestyle preferences could be something as mundane as urban versus rural, or it could go deeper to their values, to their intrinsic core values that they live their life by. Then there's the use-based segment, the frequency of usage. And the example that they gave was travel. So if your product deals with travel, then in your use-based segment would be a person who travels frequently, probably. You would want to target high-frequency usage of travel if that's what your product is geared towards. And then lastly is the benefit segment. These people have a desire for the same product benefits. And the example that was given was luxury. So that type of person, when they purchase a product, they want to get the same sort of feel out of each product, the same benefit. And that makes sense. A person who wants luxury probably wants it in everything that they do or buy. They're not going to just buy that luxurious car. They're probably going to want to stay at a luxurious hotel as well. So they have that benefit that they're looking for with each product. I would say another benefit could be maybe a person who wants to be environmentally conscious. Maybe that person wants organic food and ethically manufactured clothing. So that could be another example where things that they purchase or buy, products that they're interested in, have that environmental concern attached to them. Now, not all of these factors will be applicable to your target market. For instance, here at Brilliant Business Moms, obviously a main element of our target market is that they are female. We do not exclude men. However, we are focusing on women. So for us, geography is not really a factor in our target market. In his book, $100 Startup by Chris Gilboe, he asks a question to help people understand their target market. His question is, who are your people? Who do you resonate with? Who's that group that you really relate to that relates to your products? You know, who are your people? And honestly, when I think about this group that we have with Brilliant Business Moms, I truly feel like you're my people. And I know that Beth Ann agrees with that wholeheartedly. If you're not familiar with him, he wrote a book, $100 Startup, about how people got started in business kind of on a shoestring and just various ways that they started their business, ran their business. It's a really interesting book because it takes a lot of case studies and walks you through what he gleaned out of those case studies. And I keep finding myself going back to that book I remember he talked about this. I want to go back and see what he said. So he also has a website called The Art of Nonconformity. And he's a big travel guru. He's been to every country in the world. And he travels and he writes and he puts out products. And as you can tell by his title, he does things in kind of a non-conventional way. So when he was thinking about his target market, some of the traditional demographic or geographic segments just didn't apply to his group. And instead, he found that they weren't necessarily male or female or young or old. Instead, they were people of all different types, but the common thread amongst all of those people was that they wanted to live their life unconventionally. They were big dreamers, and they wanted to make their own rules. And that is the main theme amongst his target market. I'm sure there are other little tidbits of information that he has been able to glean. But that is the main factor. That is his main target, is those people that want to live, to lead an unconventional life. Back to us. How can we define our target market? I would start out just by thinking about what makes sense to you. Who are your people? What type of person would want what you have to offer? When you're trying to define your target market, it might help to even write out a little persona about who this person is, what they might be like, what they think about. Kind of create a little story about a person that is just like you would imagine, that ideal customer for your business. But then maybe dig in a little deeper. Instead of just brainstorming on your own, think of a person in real life, or maybe even somebody you just know online, that you could actually talk to, have a conversation with, and ask them questions about themselves. Who are they? What do they value? How do they spend their money? What problems do they have? And that could really help you to start getting ideas on who your target market is. And write all of this down. Just start writing all of this down. If you're already in business, you might already have some data about your target market that you don't even realize. If you're an Etsy shop owner, take a look at your list of who has purchased from you, your convos, and your reviews. Is there a demographic or a geographic trend that you notice in the purchases? In your reviews, do people mention how they used your product, what event it was for? Did they give it as a gift to someone? People say all sorts of things in their reviews or in convos to you. Comb through all those past communications with customers and jot down the things that they mention. You might begin to see a pattern that you didn't know was there. And we're still in the brainstorming phase, so you've just thought on your own about who your target market might be. You've maybe talked to a person that is in your target market to get more detailed information about them. Now you're looking at some hard data. Just keep writing all of this down. We're still brainstorming. If you're a blogger, you can do something similar. Take a look at comments that people have left on your website or on Facebook. Begin to jot down things that you notice from their comments and communications. We can use all of this to help us more accurately define our target market. If you already have that audience, consider conducting a short survey to learn more about them. This can be extremely helpful. And Melissa Kaiserman talked about that in her episode, episode 48, about how she wanted to get back into blogging. And so she already had readers, but she wasn't sure if what she had been putting out there was really what they wanted. She wanted to put out what her readers wanted to read about. So she conducted a survey and got a great idea of what they were looking for. And then balance that out with what's important to you as well. Use a survey to find out who they really are as people. What are their values? What are their struggles? Who are they? Another thing to think about is, are you a member of your own target market? I would say, now this is just pure conjecture on my part, really, but I would say that a lot of times we do start a business because we're starting a business based on our interest or our problems or the information we had wanted to find. And so we truly are part of our target market. And that really does make it so much easier to run a business because you know what you're looking for. And it would make it so much easier if you are part of your target market, then some of that decision making in your business just becomes a little bit easier because you understand the problems and concerns. But also, if it's important to you, then chances are it will be important to your audience. And if you're passionate about it, then it will be easier to keep on going. I think it would be very difficult to have a business in a field where you just weren't actually interested in it and you weren't part of that target market. That would be, I would think, more difficult, especially for small business owners. And I would say that Bethany and I are definitely part of our own target market, which is kind of fun. I guess I hadn't really thought about it in those terms before, but we really are. we enjoy talking with all of these small business owners to find out how they do it and how they find time to do it and tips and tricks. We just love asking all of these questions. And so we are part of our target market, I guess. So now we've really jotted down a lot of ideas. We've really brainstormed through this in a couple of different ways. So take a look at what you've written down and see if you start to see some patterns. Start circling some things on that list that you see as a trend. And more than likely, that is your target market. One other point to consider, your product may be for a certain target market, but it may be purchased by another set of people entirely. So for instance, if you sell something for children, it's almost like you have two target markets because your product is for children who are going to use your product and enjoy your product and love your product, but you have to sell to that parent or that grandparent who will actually be putting out the money to buy the product. This same principle would also hold true for an item that is purchased most often as a gift. The item may be used by the recipient of the gift, and you're designing that product for the recipient, but the marketing is to the person who will purchase the product as a gift. So in that case, just keep that in mind when you're doing different tasks. If you're creating a new product for a child, keep that child in mind, but then when you switch focuses, if you kind of change hats, kind of like Kat Lee was talking about, and you're onto the marketing side of things, you've got a different target market altogether that you need to convince this is a good product for their child or grandchild or niece or nephew. So you may almost want to come up with two different target markets, two different characteristics, and keep that in mind as you create products and market your products. And I would also say that defining your target market is not a static process. It may take refining as you learn more along the way. Early on in your business, when you only have a handful of Facebook comments and conversations and sales to look at, your target market may look completely different from when you are a couple years in, more experienced, and you've got a lot more data to go off of. You've got an actual survey that you put out there to go off of. So don't be afraid to change and adjust if you see the trends and patterns changing in your target market. So back to Melissa Kaiserman's episode, episode 48, she initially thought that her target market would be on thrifty type blogs, blogs all about saving money because she does the cash envelope system wallets. And so she was advertising on thrifty type blogs and it wasn't really getting her anywhere. Then when she advertised on an organizing blog and got lots of responses, she realized that her target market really wasn't hanging out on the thrifty blogs. Those people didn't really want to spend any unnecessary money. Her target market was more on the organizing blogs where they want things to look pretty. And so she tweaked her vision of who that target market is and where they hang out as well. And she used that to get more return on her investment by using her advertising dollars where it would make the biggest impact. And so she gave us a perfect example of how you have to tweak who your target market is and how you can use that data effectively. Your target market may also be slightly different for each product that you put out. So for instance, do you have a couple of different ebooks on different topics that you were interested in? Well, each ebook may have a different target market. Now be careful about straying too wildly, I would say, with putting different crazy products out there, because eventually I do think you'll get stretched too thin. It's hard to switch gears if you're trying to focus on and be involved in this community and that community, that really can stretch you thin. So oftentimes I would think it would be easier if your products were all geared towards the same target market. But if they're not, then just keep that in mind that you're going to have to treat each product differently, even if they're both on the same website. So use those little gray cells of yours. Pay attention to what your customers are saying. Think logically in your head about that target market and start brainstorming so that you can define that target market. Describe this person in writing and keep it where you can see it to help it guide your decision making as far as marketing efforts or new product development goes. I found a very useful guide related to target markets in my research. If you go to fizzle.co, but then at the top they have a link to their blog. At the very top of their blog, they have a short sort of ebook about defining your target market that you get for free if you sign up for their email newsletter. And in this short little ebook, they conducted interviews with various entrepreneurs to talk with them about target markets. And they also have links where you can actually listen to the interviews, but they give bullet points as well so that you can quickly look through what these entrepreneurs had to say. Now, this book is interesting, and these two topics are so related, I think. This little ebook, yes, it is about defining your target market, but it's also about creating that next product for your target market. It dives in more deeply about, okay, you have this market, you have this audience, now what do they want? How can you find out how to serve them? How to give them the next product that they would actually buy. So it's kind of a combination book, but you get it free if you sign up for their newsletter, so it could definitely be worth checking out for you. Pat Flynn was actually one of the people they interviewed, and we all know how much we love Pat Flynn. Hopefully some of this discussion helped you to flesh out in more detail who that target market is for your business, for your blog, for your Etsy shop, for your product, for the information that you're putting out there, for your book. And I do think that any more values, the values that people hold, what they're after in life, makes a huge difference now in how people are willing to spend their money. So if you can pinpoint those core values of those people that are your target market, or target people that share your core values with what you're putting out there, then I think you might be onto something. Well, for those of you that are part of our 52 Weeks to a Better Business Challenge group, I'm sure you realize that this episode will be an upcoming challenge. For those of you who are not part of our group, you can sign up at brilliantbusinessmoms.com/52weeks, 52 weeks, and each week in your inbox, you will get a new challenge, a new way to grow your business. And when you're part of our 52 Weeks to a Better Business, you can also be a part of our Facebook group, 52 Weeks to a Better Business, which has a very active group of women who are really excellent at asking great questions of each other, answering those questions, giving feedback and tips, and helping each other along the way. It's become a very collaborative group where everyone is helping each other in any way that they can to grow their business. So if you're interested in becoming part of a group like that, then sign up for 52 Weeks to a Better Business. You will not be sorry. And if you go to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/49, I will have all of the show notes and links that I mentioned from this episode right there in the show note. We are so thankful to all of our listeners. You're the best. And now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.